Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things on the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's Thursday, June 4th, and we've got a shorter episode for you guys today, but it's still promised to have a lot of good conversation. Now, we had two announcements come out from the Steelers yesterday revolving around, one, the status of their training camp sessions and where it'll be, and then two, in response to all the things that have been happening around the country after the killing of George Floyd at the hand of four Minneapolis Police Department of police officers. Now, we're going to cover both of those statements, what they mean, what it might mean moving forward, and just the context of all the other things that are at play. Then, in the final segment, we're only going to do two today, I'm going to talk about an article that Dale Lally, my colleague at DKPittsburghSports.com, wrote, and it was questioning whether Ben Roethlisberger was actually the best quarterback in the AFC North anymore. What's Dale talking about? Find out in the episode here. Let's get into it. All right, everyone, we made it through hump day, so it's Thursday, and let's get some talk going on with what's been happening. Now, there were two announcements that came out yesterday, like I said earlier, and the one kind of confirmed what we were worried about, and it is a confirmation from Art Rooney, the team president, Art Rooney II, that is, and it is that the Steelers will not be having their training camp at La Trobe this summer, which is a real bummer. Ooh, look at me rhyming. I can spit bars, y'all. Anyways. St. Vincent College has been the location for the Steelers since 1966 when they've been doing their training camp. It's a tradition unlike any other, if I was Jim Nance with the Mads Masters right there, but it is a tradition that's long been standing, not just for the Steelers, but for the fans. It's always been great. If you've never been, you can just go there on a weekday afternoon in the summer or during the weekend. You can sit in the stands, you can sit in the grass, and you get to see the players, and you get to line up where they exit, and try to get their autographs, and usually a lot of the players, they take their time going up that hill, and they try to sign as many things as they can, and it's a great experience. If you've never gone, I'm sorry that you won't be able to experience it this year, but for those of us who've been there, you know what I mean, and you know how disappointing this is. In a team statement from Art Rooney II, he says, quote, "We are disappointed for our fans in the city of La Trobe that we will not be able to hold our annual training camp at St. Vincent College in 2020, but we are adhering to the policies and guidelines set forth from the NFL for teams that travel from their facilities each year. We look forward to returning to training camp at St. Vincent College in 2021. Now, this, of course, is coming after the report that came out from Adam Schefter saying that the Steelers, that teams weren't going to be permitted to travel too far for training camp this year because of the worries of COVID-19. It stinks. I've loved to do it now. I started going to training camp because I came on for DK Pittsburgh Sports in 2016, but when I did, it was like towards the end of preseason. So I've been to every training camp since 2017. So this would have been my fourth one in a row. And I got to tell you, it's disappointing. It's actually how Tony and I first met. We met on the practice field on one of the night practices back in 2018. Yeah. It's unfortunate. It's a great chance to kind of get closer to the players, get to see the younger guys up close and personal. And it's going to be interesting because, credentials to see practices now might be a lot more limited, during the season when they're at the team facility. You're not allowed to say as much, you're not allowed to do as much. Everything's going to be on a wait and see approach. So, unfortunately, it also looks like this year, because last year when we did the show, Tony came up to Pittsburgh, and we were there almost every day. And we were talking about the practices, we were breaking it down for you guys at La Trobe, like we were recording right there on the spot. It was really cool to be able to do that for you guys. Right now, it's not looking like that's going to be able to be a thing unless those practices are more open up. We're not even sure what media availability will be for training camp as they do it from the South Side. But so that's the update there. The other update was a team statement released from Art Rooney II on the situations with the protests and everything that's been going on since the killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis. Now, I brought up how lots of players are talking about, you know, I talked about how Cam Hayward said, you know, he's scared about this kind of stuff. Former players, Ramon Foster has stepped up out of it. Troy Polamalu came out in support of this and said that we have to fight this, and acknowledging that it's an even bigger problem than we're talking about. And then other players have come out. Ben Roethlisberger released a statement saying the following, quote, "The cruelty and injustice must stop. Racism must end, and love must find a way to prevail. We are all a child of God. We are all children of God, equal in His eyes, and must hold one another accountable to fair and just standards." Other players that released statements included Vince Williams, Cameron Hayward, James Conner, Juju Smith-Schuster, Minkah Fitzpatrick, Chase Claypool, down the line. So lots of players making statements, but Art Rooney said the following, quote, "Over the last week, we have witnessed the anger and frustration in our city and around the country relating to the killing of George Floyd and the recent deaths of African-American men and women. We have also witnessed the good in so many people who have peacefully expressed their concerns. I'm proud to hear the voices of many of our players who have spoken out against racism and injustice and called for unity. As an organization, we will continue to listen to our players, coaches, alumni, and leaders in our community and work together to bring awareness and change in the effort to create a more fair and equal community." Well, it wasn't a, you know, this statement's nice. The Steelers needed, I thought the Steelers eventually would come out with it. You know, a lot of teams have been coming out with their own personal statements, but like most teams, these seem to be just blanket statements that don't really push too much. It's just saying, hey, you know what, we're against racism. And I'm like, it, you know, for people, you know, if you're paying attention to kind of the national conversation on this, every team's issuing a very similar and identical statement saying, hey, racism isn't bad, we're against it, and we'd like to move forward. And that's not condemning the Steelers for what they're doing, but they're doing what every team's doing right now. Few people are talking about the things that, you know, that the actual things that need to happen and the problems that are within the system. And that's not to say that they're not acknowledging racism is the problem, but, you know, the things that racism is causing and how we can fight it. It'll be interesting to see how this moves forward. The Steelers have been one of the more progressive teams in race relations in the NFL. And I've talked about it on this show. They were the first team ever to hire an assistant black coach. They were the first team to name a black quarterback as the starter for the team's franchise coming out of training camp in Joe Gilliam. Their first, you know, they gave Tony Dungy his start at coaching, and he was the first ever black coach to go and win a Super Bowl. The second ever black coach to win a Super Bowl to win a Super Bowl was Mike Tomlin the very next year. Also, you look at how they led the charge on recruiting for historically black college university players. That's how they built most of their 70s franchise. And then once the rest of the NFL saw the success coming from that, they started jumping in, and that led to other legends like Walter Payton and Jerry Rice, who came from historically black colleges, becoming more prominent in the NFL. The Steelers led that charge. And then, of course, you have the Rooney Rule going on that just got expanded, and the Steelers seem to be at the forefront of a lot of those conversations time and time again. So I don't think the Steelers are done. I think this is just they're making the statement for the moment. You know, I think that they're an organization that always kind of takes their time, and they, when they do something, it's not rushed. They want to make it a more calculated step. So I don't think we've seen the last bit of what they're going to be doing in this situation. But I do think it's interesting that they've been making their statements, and the players are making their statements, especially considering just a few years ago, there was the question of, you know, Colin Kaepernick's protest, and it was highly controversial. And now more and more teams are sort of saying that, you know, hey, we were wrong in doing this. And there's still some that aren't saying that. Drew Brees made a statement, just saying that he thinks that the flag should never be disrespected, and that drew a lot of criticism because people were saying, reminding him, he never disrespected the flag. You know, he got the idea of his protest from, you know, a veteran of the military, and taking a knee during the national anthem isn't, you know, disrespectful to the anthem, and especially when he said this was about fighting racism and police brutality and a lot of the issues that we're talking about right now. So it's interesting that, You know, and that comment has caused a lot of friction, even with his own teammates. Michael Thomas and Malcolm Jenkins, his own teammates, have been going after Drew Brees. I think it's smart that the Steelers have been able to stay out of that fracas and kind of just everyone just says what they know they need to say. And if you want to say more as far as, you know how you want to handle it. But the Steelers look like they've dodged being in the center of the spotlight of this entire conversation in the sense of controversies and stuff like that. But the Rooney's released their statement, the Steelers are releasing their statement. I'm sure there will be more statements to come. There's also going to be a lot of questions going forward because, you know, they're still, they ended up charging the other three officers, and they upgraded the main officer that sat on the neck of George Floyd. So I'm sure there's going to be more responses. We'll keep an eye on how things continue, not just around the country, but specifically with the Steelers on this show. I'm sure there might be some people that speak out more and get some interesting things going on. But yeah, so that's what that was. We're going to go to a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to be talking about Ben Roethlisberger. We had some input from Dale Lally. I'm going to give you my thoughts right after this. All right, we're back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter. Now, let's get into some Ben talk here. Now, I posted a poll in the Locked On Steelers Facebook group to see how you guys wanted to see me react to this situation, to the statement. So I asked jokingly if you guys wanted me to rant, and I got an overwhelming "go get 'em." And if you didn't understand what I said "go get 'em" just in my weird deep voice of excitement. Because y'all, for those who don't know, I can do a good rant. I can get angry. But before I do that, I just want to go over what Dale's point was with the article, balance where I actually think there, and then I'm going to come hard for this. But anyways, Dale's point was looking at the fact that, and it's what we talked about earlier this week, or maybe even last week, but there's the fact that there are now three Heisman-winning quarterbacks that start for the other teams in the AFC North. There's technically four Heisman-winning quarterbacks. We can consider Robert Griffin III is also a backup quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens. Roethlisberger's coming back from injury, and there's a question: is he really the best quarterback in the division right now? Dale's opinion is that he's now the second best. He thinks that Lamar Jackson. He wrote this article saying Lamar Jackson for now has surpassed Ben Roethlisberger as the best quarterback right now. Now again, he's not saying that Lamar Jackson's legacy has surpassed Ben's, but his point is that when you look at the production that Lamar Jackson had, I mean, it's tough to deny. Lamar Jackson was the NFL MVP. The Steelers haven't had an MVP, I think, since Terry Bradshaw. And I think that was that 78, 79? And I think that's the lone MVP that they've ever had in the history of the award. And Ben Roethlisberger, he's never been the guy that was going to be the number one quarterback in the NFL. There were times he was definitely in the top five, times he was pushing the top five, but he's never been the super factor. And Lamar Jackson was that for the Ravens. And honestly, when I watch the Ravens, I sometimes think that they would not be able to, they wouldn't have been relevant without Lamar Jackson, in the sense that even if you had put a competent quarterback back there, I think he was that good for them. Last year, he went 13-2 as a starter. He completed 66% of his passes for over 3,100 yards. Had 36 passing touchdowns, only six interceptions. That's a 6-1 touchdown to interception ratio. That is ridiculous. He had a passer rating of 113.3. He was sacked 23 times. But when you look at just the things that he was able to pull off. Also, you got to look at his rushing numbers. He took 176 carries for 1,206 yards and 7 touchdowns. He broke Michael Vick's record on that, and that's pretty ridiculous. The fact that he was able to do all that damage with in the ground in the air. All in all, 36 plus 7, that's 43 touchdowns coming from this guy, and that's on an offense where three of his top five receivers were tight ends. So listen, I get it. And for those who don't remember, I've always been a proponent of Lamar Jackson. You know, I wasn't on this show, but when he was coming up in the draft, I was saying that he would be a perfect pick for the Steelers at the time when they had Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell. It looked like they would have them both for a while. I was like, man, you put his athleticism with those weapons in the offensive line. You know, I know Ben Roethlisberger has to finish a career, but I think that he would be very good, and at least he would keep him, you would keep him out of the hands of your opponents. And lo and behold, now he's an MVP for your arch nemesis, the Baltimore Ravens. But I struggle with this because I do think that Lamar Jackson was amazing last year, but and I'm not saying he can't do it again, but I do think that there's going to be more teams that have a better plan of attack on how to face him. Now, there's going to be teams that he shreds because they don't have the athleticism to stick with him. But when you play teams like the Steelers, I think when he goes up against teams that have more complete defenses, I'll be interested to see how the Broncos play next year. You know, there's going to be some interesting questions at hand to see, you know, can he keep up that kind of success? You know, I'm not one to say that he's definitely going to get hurt because he's a running quarterback, because that's a narrative that always happens. But I look at this and I think that, man, I think he's eventually going to make some mistakes at some point, just hit a slump of some sort. I don't think he's going to be horrible. I just think that there's going to be a time where the NFL starts to catch up to him, and then there'll be that adjustment period. But the other reason for this that I have is that I think that Ben Roethlisberger, he's going to be coming off. He'll be fresh. He's shown that he can be consistent and find ways to win in the NFL, even when teams are expecting, you know, what he likes to go to. That's not easy. That doesn't come to everybody. And we've certainly seen guys in the NFL have really hot seasons and then flame out once people started to figure out their game. So Ben Roethlisberger, I don't really agree with Dale there, but I get his point that when you look at the weapons that he had, I mean, Hollywood Brown was his biggest threat. You know, Mark Ingram, you know, was a good running back, but you know, Mark Andrews and you know, Hayden Hurst and then Max Williams, I think, was their third tight end. You know, those were primary targets for him, and he still made it work. He still made people fear that offense, and I think they were the best offense throughout the regular season. And they fell short in the Titans game because they were, he had two interceptions, and both of them bounced off of his players' hands in very catchable balls. But all that aside, I think that Ben Roethlisberger, his position with the offense is going to be a lot more comfortable. You saw when the Steelers got to put pressure on him in that game at Heinz Field, that you saw that eventually he started to make a few more mistakes. Mike Hilton baited him into an interception. They have the pass rush to keep up with him. They have the athleticism. I think that when you get teams like that that build around being able to stop that kind of quarterback, that's where you're going to see Lamar Jackson run into trouble. Now, if Ben Roethlisberger is healthy, I have a hard time seeing how you stop him. The biggest thing I've always thought about Ben is that when he's on his game, it's very hard to stop him. Now, the way to knock him off his game, take his favorite receiver away, force him to kick it down to lesser receivers. If he doesn't trust those other receivers, then he starts to have problems. But that's why he's practicing with guys right now, even though the team's not really practicing right now, even though teams are supposed to be separate. You know, Deontay Johnson said he's worked out with him. He's been throwing the ball around with him. You know, James Conner, Juju Smith-Schuster, Ryan Switzer, all those guys are saying that they're working with him. I think that's very important. So, Ben Roethlisberger's familiarity with the team and with the offense is going to be what carries him. And if he's able to build that efficient season, he doesn't need super stats. He just needs an efficient season. Then I think he can claim his he's still on the top of the mountain when it comes to quarterbacks in the division. Because think about it, when was the last time you can definitely say that there was a quarterback better than Ben Roethlisberger in the division? I mean, Carson Palmer, maybe, just because he was in his prime when Ben was a rookie and a second year and third year player. But you know, Andy Dalton, no. Joe Flacco, no. Any of the Browns quarterbacks? I'm just joking. I didn't know why I brought them up, but you get my point. That Lamar Jackson's the biggest threat that he's had to being the best quarterback in the division, and that does cause an interesting situation there. All right, so I promised y'all a rant. So here it goes. All right, here we go. Dale, what are you thinking? This is Ben Roethlisberger.
Ben Roethlisberger, the two-time Super Bowl champion, three-time AFC champion. I know. Somewhere Hunter Homestead and Tony Serino are making fun of me because I'm counting rings, and they always get on me for doing so. But guess what? Rings matter. You know what also matters? Playoff wins. How many other playoff wins are even in this division? None. Lamar Jackson still hasn't won a playoff game. Baker Mayfield ain't even sniffed the playoff game. And Joe Burrow, please, get him out of here. Listen. I admire Lamar Jackson, but you are out of your mind if you think that just one hot year, and again, it was one hot year, overtakes an entire career of greatness from Ben Roethlisberger. The last time he was in the league, he led the NFL in passing yards. Yeah, he led it in interceptions too, but he led it in an offense where they were expecting a superstar running back to show up, and he never did, and they still made it work. And guess what? Now he's coming back. He's coming back refreshed. He's got a great elbow again. He's got a young offense. He's got an offensive line. And he's got a defense that's ready to give him the ball any chance that he's got. And the last time that he played a full season at healthy, he led the number one red zone offense in the NFL. You'd rather have Lamar Jackson over that? A guy that's raring to go? A guy that knows he's proven? And here's the other thing. We all know. You and I, dear listeners, I know that Ben Roethlisberger don't like it when people talk smack about him. We know that. And guess what? He's had to hear it, not just this summer, but for 2 years. You remember Deion Sanders laughing at him when he had bad games going, you know, towards the end of two seasons ago when they missed the playoffs and then Antonio Brown left the team? You remember that? The talk all summer was, oh, Ben Roethlisberger's to blame for Antonio Brown. Oh, Ben Roethlisberger, he's the problem. And I did think that Ben Roethlisberger could have handled things better, but he's not responsible for Antonio Brown going crazy. He's not responsible for that. But I will say that fuel came into 2019. We didn't get to see it really, really kick off. Why? Because he was hurt. And who knows how long he's been hurt. But now, his arm is fixed, he's raring to go, and he's had 2 years of stewing over everyone, talking smack about him. And y'all know Ben. He pays attention to the comments. People used to make fun of how he used to hold on to the ball and extend plays, then he would throw a touchdown, he would let people know in the press conference, oh, you know, people said that's the worst thing about me, that I hold on to balls and I extend plays. He's hearing all of it right now. So go ahead, Adam Shines, Colin Cowards, all you people that want to think that Ben Roethlisberger's not the best quarterback in the AFC North, and I guess that's you, Dale Lally. Dale knows. I don't think Dale listens to this show, but if he does, we're going to get a good laugh out of this later. But anyways, you, Dale Lally, I see what you're trying to do, and it's not going to work, because Ben Roethlisberger is going to come, he's going to be Big Ben, he's going to be the best quarterback in the AFC North for, what, a 15th year in a row? Get out of here with that. He's going to be the man. You're crazy. I'm not. Steelers are going to do damage. I hope that was the rant you guys were looking for. So, let me know what you thought about my rant. Oh, my God. It's late. But anyways, thanks for listening to the Locked On Steelers podcast. This is always fun for me. Tomorrow, it's going to be Fantasy Draft Friday. I'm going to have Tony Cerrito and Hunter Homestead on the show. We're going to be doing the best ever Steelers teams to not win a Super Bowl. Again, five rounds, fantasy rounds. We're going to be drafting. Then throughout the weekend, you all are going to be able to vote for who picked the best team. Listen, y'all picked Tony last week. You're supposed to pick me. I don't know what you guys don't get about that rule. But anyways, we'll be playing that game tomorrow. You can play that game, as always, by joining the Locked On Steelers Facebook group. Just go to Facebook, search Locked On Steelers, ask to join the group. I'll add you as soon as I can. We have over 600 people in the group right now. Those are loyal listeners. You can talk, chat with them at any point in time. Lots of them are great fans that have always been contributing to the community, and you can have fun conversations, whether it's Steelers fans. You got questions, you got funny things you want to share. It's a great place to do it and a safe place to do it for Steelers fans, so you're not dealing with all the crazies out there. But again, my name is Chris Carter. You can follow me on Twitter, at Carter Critiques. Follow me, I will follow you back. Hit me with a DM. Always down to chat with you guys. Thanks to all those who are reaching out. A lot of you guys have reached out with very positive comments with all the things that have been going on around the country and even in Pittsburgh, because we've had some rioting and some protesting here as well. Actually, a lot of it's been happening literally within 2 minutes of my house. But You know, I really appreciate those who reach out and express their concern, but also their appreciation for the show. Just know that I appreciate y'all for listening to the show, and for those who reach out, that stuff's very encouraging in these times and with all that's going on out there. So, if you're enjoying the show, please leave a 5-star review and a positive comment. If you do so, you'll get a shout out at the end of the show, along with your review being read, as long as it's safe for work. Be sure to turn in tomorrow. We'll be back on with the Locked On Steelers podcast. Until then, have a happy Thursday, y'all.